Good morning. As a soft talker, I would trust my friend Val to wave at me. My name is Jean Bowen, and I'm a member of the Social Action Committee. My reading this morning is a poem from a book called Distances by poet Doris Henderson of Bethel, Connecticut. And the poem is Snow Again. Frigid January morning, I drag out of bed. All night the fierce winds have howled. No way would I budge from this warm cocoon if I hadn't promised Dorothy. Plows have been scraping outside 4 more inches overnight. I am so tired of this blasted winter, sick of this miserable snow. Dig out the car, fingers frozen under heavy, heavy gloves. The engines sputter, and so do I. All the way down the icy road to Main Street, where I can barely park, mountains of white stuff everywhere. Dorothy makes her way gingerly over the lumpy sidewalks. Now I feel more terrible. Couldn't even help her to the car. Poor woman, over 80 years old. How she must dread these miserable days. She slides in, takes a deep breath. Oh, she exclaims, isn't this beautiful? I'm lost for words. Beautiful, she smiles, delighted all the way out of town, over the winding, drifting road to the secluded church. I begin to notice how it swirls around fence posts, clings to the trees with the prism of the icy twigs, the whole white, gorgeous landscape, and the beautiful, delicate, upturned face of Dorothy, bright, bright in the January sun.
My spiritual journey. From birth until late adolescence, my spiritual life was determined by my family's Irish Catholicism. I was socialized through the belief in God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and the fear that sin would bring me to hell. It was continually scary. My mother was a strong believer and inculcated me through a range of church experiences. At age 14, I expected to become a priest to bring more people into that faith. Also as a part of that socialization, because I was large, I played football as a high school freshman, but not with much skill. I would prepare for practice by saying to myself, if Bob Finn actually kills me today, it'll be okay, since I went to confession and communion, so I'll go straight to heaven. Over the next 3 years, things changed. Along with her deep belief, my mother was also a critic of the churches being improper, such as the Sister Superior slapping me for missing church on a stormy holy day, and the luxury life of some priests while she struggled to raise a family as a single parent, not a widely shared role in those days. By 18, I had left the church, although I had to hide it from my mother. However, I could not resolve my fear of hell, which continued to hang over me for many years. My spirituality became deeply interwoven with my study of American history. I came to believe that the Declaration of Independence and its fulfillment in the American Revolution are this country's contribution to the theory and practice of world development. The expectations for human capacity in the Declaration became my basis for being spiritual. As I stumbled into teaching as a means of making a living, I saw that teaching was my vehicle for advancing spirituality, by empowering students to attain their full capacity, by expanding knowledge through the models of writer activists such as Thomas Jefferson, Lincoln Steffens, W.E.B. Du Bois, and Howard Zinn, all of our spirituality becomes advanced, clearly impacts our world, and removes hell and fear as factors to life. Approximately 11 years ago, I came into the path of this congregation. Member Taylor Ellis organized 3 weekly talks on affordable housing in South Kingstown. And I want to note, Taylor and I were actually together this past Thursday night at another talk on affordable housing in South Kingstown. I gave the first talk and attended the other 2. Because the predominant attenders were from this church, I decided I would try it and have stayed ever since. UUCSC and the UUA has led me into expanded reading in theology, religion, church operation, and sustainability. For example, I recently expanded my view of Thomas Jefferson by reading the Bible he wrote early in the 1800s, the first part during his presidency. Then to see democracy as applied in 3 annual general assemblies, particularly in a 4,000-plus person plenary session discussion, is an incredible experience. To regularly review Reverend Peter Morales' work, Green Sanctuary Development, and other UUA sources via requested emails have further elaborated and grounded my spiritual journey. My dominant spiritual source is democracy, small d. UUism is a subset. I end with Reverend Peter Morales' recent words as representative, and I quote, "In the days, weeks, months, and even years ahead, there will inevitably be other challenges to face in the ongoing process to form a more perfect union. As we mark the 84th anniversary of the birth of Dr. King, I call upon all Americans to work towards the goal of liberty and justice for all. There is nothing more tragic than to sleep through a revolution."
We'll now have a reading from the famous words of Chief Seattle and also the question or letter that instigated his brilliant statement.
Actually, we cut the question. Sorry.
We'll not hear the question, which came from, who was the source of the question?
The governor of the territory of Washington.
Yes, the governor of the territory of Washington, to satisfy your curiosity, wrote to Chief Seattle, and this is his response.
The president in Washington sends word that he wishes to buy our land. But how can you buy or sell the sky, the land? The idea is strange to us. If we do not own the freshness of the air and the sparkle of the water, how can you buy them? Every part of this earth is sacred to my people. Every shining pine needle, every sandy shore, every mist in the dark woods, every meadow, every humming insect. All are holy in the memory and experience of my people. We know the sap which courses through the trees, as we know the blood that courses through our veins. We are part of the earth, and it is part of us. The perfumed flowers are our sisters. The bear, the deer, the great eagle, these are our brothers. The rocky crests, the juices in the meadow, the body heat of the pony and man all belong to the same family. The shining water that moves in the streams and rivers is not just water, but the blood of our ancestors. If we sell you our land, you must remember that it is sacred. Each ghostly reflection in the clear waters of the lakes tells of events and memories in the life of my people. The water's murmur is the voice of my father's father. The rivers are our brothers. They quench our thirst. They carry our canoes and feed our children. So you must give to the rivers the kindness you would give to any brother. If we sell you our land, remember that the air is precious to us, that the air shares the spirit with all the life it supports. The wind that gave our grandfather his first breath also receives his last sigh. The wind also gives our children the spirit of life. So if we sell you our land, you must keep it apart and sacred as a place where man can go to taste the wind that is sweetened by the meadow flowers. Will you teach your children what we have taught our children, that the earth is our mother? What befalls the earth befalls all the sons of the earth. This we know. The earth does not belong to man. Man belongs to the earth. All things are connected like the blood that unites us all. Man did not weave the web of life. He is merely a strand in it. Whatever he does to the web, he does to himself. One thing we know, our God is also your God. The earth is precious to him, and to harm the earth is to heap contempt on its creator. Your destiny is a mystery to us. What will happen when the buffalo are all slaughtered, the wild horses tamed? What will happen when the secret corners of the forest are heavy with the scent of many men and the view of the ripe hills is blotted by talking wires? Where will the thicket be? Gone. Where will the eagle be? Gone. And what is it to say goodbye to the swift pony and the hunt? The end of living and the beginning of survival. When the last red man has vanished with his wilderness and his memory is only the shadow of a cloud moving across the prairie, will these shores and forests still be here? Will there be any of the spirit of my people left? We love this earth as a newborn loves its mother's heartbeat. So if we sell you our land, love it as we have loved it. Care for it as we have cared for it. Hold in your mind the memory of the land as it is when you receive it. Preserve the land for all children and love it as God loves us all. As we are a part of the land, you too are a part of the land. This earth is precious to us. It is also precious to you. One thing we know, there is only one God. No man, be he red man or white man, can be apart. We are brothers after all.
This whole service was Rich Evans's idea, and he wrote this homily. He had hoped to give it himself, but as you probably know, he's battling cancer again, and unfortunately, he's not well enough to be up here. So I volunteered to read it for him. So just imagine that I'm Rich. Let's all take a deep breath. Breathe in and out. I'm not here to lecture you on the ways of environmentalism or the interdependent web of all existence. I'm pretty sure that most, if not all of you, support these concepts. That is why you are here, not just at this service, but why you have accepted Unitarian Universalism as your personal faith. Our principles call for us to be at our very best in our thoughts and all our interactions with each other, our neighbors, and the environment of the earth. We see the value of living in harmony, but our principles do not tell us what decisions to make in every instance. They provide the goals that we strive to attain. Whether the goals are environmental, social justice, or some other provision of the principles, we are generally guided from within by our spiritual sense. I find this most helpful in trying to determine what is the right decision when it comes to environmental lifestyle choices. For there are thousands of decisions to be made, seemingly every day, about how to proceed to the goal of respect for the interdependent web of life. And the decisions can be different depending on where we live, our family structure, and our occupations. As a family with three school-aged children living in a single-family house in the suburbs certainly has different choices than a retired couple living in a beachfront condo. One whose employment necessarily takes them to a location in Providence has different choices and responsibilities than someone able to be employed online or within walking distance of their home. Whether you rent or own changes your choices. We know this because we have researched various environmental surveys and questionnaires that seek to rate one's impact upon the earth based on one's lifestyle choices. It's next to impossible to find one that fits all. We are just too diverse a society. But one thing that keeps coming back to me as I evaluate these surveys and try to adapt one to our congregation is that it is not strictly what one does, but what sense of purpose that guides one's decisions. I believe the highest and best aspiration is to act from a spiritual sense of what is right to restore the balance. That is, to have my decisions be guided by my spiritual commitment. In the words ascribed to Chief Seattle, "The earth does not belong to man. Man belongs to the earth. All things are connected like the blood that unites us all. Man does not weave the web of life. He is merely a strand in it. Whatever he does to the web, he does to himself." What beautiful words. Understanding that we are all part of everything else gives us an entirely different sense of self-interest. It is in our best interests to live in a way that strengthens all parts of the web. If not, we are like a fishing net with gaping holes. And the interdependent web is more than just environmentalism. It's also the social and economic justice aspects of life and community. So now we can attempt to shut out the cacophony of images and exhortations of an intensely media-driven society. Let's take another deep breath, clear our minds, and refresh our souls. Breathe in and out. In the silent stillness, let us feel our sense of place. Let us feel the bonds that unify us with all living things. Let us realize that we are connected with all in the universe. We are all part of the oneness. Breathe in and breathe out. It's a choice. We choose to be spiritually aware. From this awareness, we can make better choices and influence the direction of life, because our choices now come from the heart. We can base our decision on what we sense is right and just for all the web of life. It is not hard or foreign to be spiritually aware. It is our birthright. We can evoke our spiritual state at will. Please take another breath, and I'll take a little water. So let's consider how we use this. For while spiritual awareness is always available to each of us, it sometimes takes practice for those who haven't been using it. A spiritual practice is sometimes called a discipline because we generally perform certain ritualistic behavior to enhance our focus. Adopting sustainable living as your spiritual practice or adding it to your current spiritual practice is easily achieved by taking a certain amount of time daily just to feel one with all. Most adherents will attempt to focus at approximately the same time every day and for a specified amount of time. But I'm here to tell you that it is not necessary to be programmed. You only need to ensure that you keep it up. You can meditate for 15 minutes in the morning, or you can take short shots throughout your day. The longer periods of systematic meditation are shaman style. The shorter and more incidental method is hunter style. You can use either or mix both. May I suggest you start with at least some time soon after awakening when you feel oneness with the universe. Don't worry about your schedule or the time. Everything will go much smoother when you're feeling a oneness with all living things. When you find yourself in a natural setting, a walk in the woods or along the shore, on a hilltop or in a garden, take some time to really savor the interdependence of all things. These are powerful moments. Thirdly, take minute or multi-minute vacations while you are waiting in line or waiting in traffic to become one with all. Using any of these opportunities, the procedure is usually the same. Take a deep breath, breathe in, and breathe out. Clear your mind and refresh your soul. Divorce yourself from the manic short-term concerns of the day. Simply relax and absorb the energy that is all around you. When you realize that whatever you do to the web, you do to yourself and your progeny, you find it easy to prioritize your choices. You just need to be fully aware. You don't blindly replace an incandescent bulb with another incandescent bulb when an LED is an option. You don't shy away from helping a neighbor or feeding the poor. Justice for all means more to you. Doing the right thing becomes a goal in itself. Sustainable living is a deeply pleasurable reward, not a task. Being in tune has benefits impossible to describe. I welcome you on this spiritual practice. Blessed be, and amen.
The closing words were written by John Seed. We ask for the presence of the Spirit of Gaia and pray that the breath of life continues to caress this planet home. May we grow into true understanding, a deep understanding that inspires us to protect the tree on which we bloom and the water, soil, and atmosphere without which we have no existence. May we turn inwards and stumble upon our true roots in the intertwining biology of this exquisite planet. May nourishment and power pulse through these roots and fierce determination to continue the billion-year dance. May love well up and burst forth from our hearts. May there be a new dispensation of pure and powerful consciousness and the charter to witness and facilitate the healing of the tattered biosphere. We ask for the presence of the Spirit of Gaia to be with us here, to reveal to us all that we need to see for our own highest good and for the highest good of all. We call upon the Spirit of Evolution, the miraculous force that inspires rocks and dust to weave themselves into biology. You have stood by us for millions and billions of years. Do not forsake us now. Empower us and awaken us in pure and dazzling creativity. You that can turn scales into feathers, seawater to blood, caterpillars to butterflies, metamorphose our species. Awaken in us the powers that we need to survive the present crisis and evolve into more eons of our solar journey. Awaken in us a sense of who we truly are, tiny ephemeral blossoms on the tree of life. Make the purposes and destiny of that tree our own purpose and destiny. Fill each of us with love for our true self, which includes all of the creatures and plants and landscapes of the world. Fill us with a powerful urge for the well-being and continual unfolding of this self. May we speak in all human councils on behalf of the animals and plants and landscapes of the earth. May we shine with a pure inner passion that will spread rapidly through these leaden times. May we all awaken to our true and only nature, none other than the nature of Gaia, this living planet Earth. We call upon the power which sustains the planets in their orbits, that wheels our Milky Way in its 200 million year spiral, to imbue our personalities and our relationships with harmony, endurance, and joy. Fill us with a sense of immense time so that our brief, flickering lives may truly reflect the work of vast ages past and also the millions of years of evolution whose potential lies in our trembling hands. O stars, lend us your burning passion. O silence, give weight to our voice. We ask for the presence of the Spirit of Gaia.